Okay, thanks very much for the invitation for this nice event. So I'm going to talk about semi-direct polymers. So probably towards the end you will figure out what is semi-directed. So the setting is the following. So we are on ZD, and we have a simple random walk on ZD. And we denote the distribution by P. Okay. Then also at each side of the lattice, we have a random variable omega x. So we have a collection of variables, which are IID. Okay. And they are non-negative. We denote the distribution by P. And we can have some mild assumptions on the moments. So for example, we can assume that it has finite first moments. Okay? So these random variables will give grounds for the random potential into which I'm going to consider the random walk. So the random potential will be minus lambda plus gamma omega x. Okay. Where lambda and gamma are some positive parameters. Okay. So lambda will be responsible for what we call semi-directed, and gamma will measure the strength of the disorder. Okay, so what are the questions that people are interested? So there are two types of questions. One have to do with Green's functions. So the Green's function is defined by z lambda 0 x omega is equal to the summation n equals 1 to infinity, capital N, 0 to infinity, expected value of the exponential of the summation lambda plus gamma omega xn. Okay, so you have the random walk, and you see what sites are visited, and you put inside the random variable that you visit. Okay, and this expectation is restricted on the event that the endpoint is at x. Okay, so one interpretation of the Green's function is via a solution of some parabolic PD problem, but another one, which would be kind of intuitive, is the following. So at each side of the lattice, you have this probability e to the lambda plus gamma omega x to survive. So here essentially what is the Green's function is the expected number. So informally is the expected number of visits to x without being killed. Okay, so what we are interested to know is what are the asymptotics of this Green's function as x goes to infinity. The question is, okay, so we'll come back to this question in a minute. Okay, the second type of questions that we are interested, okay, are the path properties. Okay, so the way to model the interaction of the random walk and the random potential is by introducing this polymer measure. So I'm going to call P N omega lambda gamma, and the density of this measure with respect to the simple random walk is given by 1 over the partition function, the normalization, times this Gibbs weight. Okay. And And under this measure, we would like to ask questions: what is the probability that, let's say, the endpoint of the path is at position x? So there are two types of questions. The first question is of interest mostly to people from mathematical physics. The second question is mostly of interest to people in probability, and especially doing random polymers. Okay. The lambda, right? So the lambda, of course, cancels out here, but I want to keep it because later I'm going to have a slightly different formulation. So later on, this n is not going to be constant, it's going to be a hitting time. So I want to keep it so that I don't start introducing it later on. But at this stage, yes, the lambda is not important. Okay. Okay, so what we are going to see is that information on this type of question gives us information on question number two. Okay. And little by little, we start, you know, seeing how these two things, these two questions, are related. Okay, so let's go to the first question. So what do we know about the asymptotics of the Green's function? So we know that the Green's function will decay exponentially. So in other words, we can look at the log of g, 0, and x, omega, okay, divided by 1 over n. Okay, so we start at 0. We fix a direction x, okay, and we go along this direction for the long distance n, okay, and then we count how many times we visit this point nx. So this limit is shown to exist. It's equal to alpha lambda gamma of x. Okay, it exists almost surely. Okay, and in L1, and this is called the Quincy-Lyapunov norm. The reason that this limit exists is fairly easy, okay, and but the difficulty, of course, is to be able to obtain some information about this this norm. Okay, this is a difficult thing, and very little things are known, unfortunately. But the reason why the limit exists is easy, and I'm going to describe it. So instead of looking at the Green's function, it's easier to look at a related quantity, which is called E lambda gamma 0 x. Okay? And this is the expected value e to the negative summation n equals 1 to a hitting time of the point x of the potential. Okay. So if you want, if you look back at the interpretation we gave here, the Green's function is the expected number of visits to point x without being killed. This quantity is the probability that you hit point x without being killed. Okay. So if you want the informal interpretation of this quantity, the probability that you hit x before killed. Okay. Now, this quantity is easy to see that it's subadditive. Basically, if you want to go from 0 to x plus y without being killed, you can first go to x without being killed, and then from x you can go to x plus y. Okay. So this subadditivity will give immediately that you have, by the subadditive ergodic theorem, that you have the limit, the log of this quantity divided by n converges. Okay, and the exponential decay of this function is the same as the exponential decay of the Green's function. And the reason is also simple. So if you want to go how many times, if you want to see how many times you visit point nx without being killed, okay. Let's see how many times we visit point x without being killed. Well, we first need to go to the point x without being killed. from that point on, we need to count how many points we keep visiting, how many times we keep visiting point x. Okay, so the exponential decay of this function as x goes to infinity is clearly the same as the exponential decay of this function as x goes to infinity. Okay. Okay. So it's easy to see the limit, that the limit exists, but it's, as I said, it's difficult to say something about this limit. Okay. So a first step to be able to say something is to compare the Quint Lyapunov of null with what we call the annealed Lyapunov of null. Okay. So the annealed Lyapunov of null, basically you average the Green's function over the disorder, and this will converge to a different norm which we call beta lambda gamma of x, and this is the annealed Lyapunov norm. Okay, now by Jensen's inequality it is easy to see that the Quint Lyapunov norm is greater or equal than the annealed one. But there might be some situations where actually this inequality is equality, and this will tell us that the Quint's exponential decay of the Green's function is equal to the annealed one, and hopefully it's easier to study the annealed when we average out the disorder. Okay, still studying this norms is something extremely difficult. Okay, and very little things are known about this. There's some work by some mathematical physicists using supersymmetry. Or something very super, I forget exactly what it is, to get some asymptotics for gamma going to zero. Still, this quantity is difficult to put our hands on, but at least it's easier. Okay. Okay. So let me stop for the moment about the Green's functions, and I would like to go to the path properties. Okay, so there will be two parts. Okay, okay. So in both parts, I would like to show how information about the Lyapunov norms will give you some information about the path properties. Okay. So the first one is based on the work of Snitman, who actually introduced this kind of norms. And he studied the large deviations of the polymer measure. So what is the probability that xn is almost equal to n times x? Okay. So he proved that this probability decays exponentially at a rate n with a rate function I of x. Okay. And the I of x is given in terms of the Quint's Lyapunov norm. So this would be the supremum over all lambda greater than or equal to zero, alpha lambda of x, alpha lambda gamma of x minus lambda. Okay. Mm-hmm. It will be a functional of the local time of the random walk. But it's difficult to have. Local time is something not so easy to study still. And then you will have a functional of the local time. So it's easier. You can put your hands on. Maybe experts like Amin, who on local times, and so then you can put your hands on. Okay, so let me give you quickly the heuristic, the sketch of this proof, just to see how the Lyapunov norms get into play. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This does not depend on lambda, but so that's why the supremum is over all possible lambdas. Okay. Okay. So let's write this probability, what it is. Okay. So by the formulation I have over there, it's 1 over z n omega lambda gamma. times the expectation of e to the negative summation n equals 1 to n. Okay? And we are restricted on the set that xn is almost equal to nx. Okay? So what we do is we multiply and divide by e to the lambda n. Of course, as you mentioned already, you know, this lambda will cancel this lambda here. Okay, so this is going to be at lambda equals 0 if you want. Okay, and now the point is we have to choose lambda. Okay, such that the main contribution in this expectation comes from paths for which the hitting time of the point nx is almost equal to x. Okay? So we have to make a particular choice of lambda such that this event becomes typical, if you want, under this measure, or is the main contribution in this expectation. Okay? So if we do this, the n will become the hitting time of the point nx. So the n will become the hitting point of the hitting time of the point nx. This event will drop out because it will become will have probability 1 basically. And now you will have this. Okay. Now, it was shown by Snitman that this is up exponential. Okay. On the other hand, so we have let's gather all the exponential terms. You have lambda n here. This is the functional e lambda, which decays exponential based on the Quincy Lyapunov of none. Okay. So it decays like e to the negative n alpha lambda of x. Okay. Plus little o of 1. Okay. So the lambda here was chosen is a particular lambda, which makes this event typical. Okay. And it turns out that this choice of lambda is the one which achieves the supremum in this expression. Okay. So basically, this is a heuristic for the large deviations and how it relates to the Lyapunov norms. Okay. Now, just a quick word. You can also do the large deviations for the annealed measure. Okay. So you can look at the last deviations of the annealed measure, and then you will get again that the probability xn equals n times x decays exponentially at the rate j of x, which is given in terms of the annealed Lyapunov norms. Okay. Okay. So. Now I want to change gears and look at the path properties in a slightly different setting. Okay, so path properties. Okay. So what I want to look is at the following situation. You have the polymer which starts at zero, and you look at it until it hits a hyperplane at some direction L hat and a distance capital L from the origin. Okay, so you have the random walk and you look at it until it hits this hyperplane. Okay, now what I'm interested to look what is the distribution of this endpoint under the polymer measure. Okay, so here I'm going to modify a bit my measure. So PL lambda gamma, and so I want to look what is the probability that XTL is equal to little x, okay, for x belongs into the hyperplane. So this is going to be 1 over the partition function times the expected value. Now e to the negative summation n equals 1 until the hitting time of the hyperplane lambda plus gamma omega xn. Okay? Restricted on the event that the landing point is at x. Okay? So basically this was the reason I was keeping the lambda at the beginning, so that there's no confusion by adding lambda and so on. Okay, so I would like to study this type of question. Okay? So now what we will see is that information on the Lyapunov norms will also come into this play, and in particular the equality of these two norms will play an important role. Okay? Okay, so I will state a theorem which was proved in different stages by different people. Okay, so it summarizes the work of several people. So the first one was Marcus Fluri, then myself, and then Ioffe and Velenik. Okay. So when the dimension is greater than or equal to 4, okay, and the strength of the disorder gamma is less than some value gamma naught depending on lambda, okay, then the Lyapunov norms are equal. Okay. And the second part is that in this regime, okay, then a central limit theorem for that quantity takes place. So the probability that tau x tau l is equal to x, let's say x tau l minus l is equal to x, where x, well, x is on ZD minus 1. Okay, so this is under the polymer measure. Okay, this will satisfy a local limit theorem, so it will be like Gaussian. Now, just a word about the semi-direct and the role of lambda. Okay, so what I'm looking here is a situation where I start from zero and I fix a direction where I want to hit. Okay, so the lambda will penalize paths which like to hang out very much into the opposite direction. Okay, so the lambda will effectively bring a drift into the polymer measure, which will give an effective direction. Okay, so you are at zero. Okay, and then you will not want to do something like this before going to hit the plane. This will have lots of cost. Okay? So you will maybe hang out a bit behind, but then gradually you will be shifting along a certain direction. Okay? So that's why you have a direction, but not exactly. You can also backtrack a bit. So that's why we call them semi-directed. Okay? And that might also give an explanation about why the dimension is 4. Right? Usually, you know, you would expect dimension 3. But because you have one dimension here, on the transversal you have d minus one dimensions. Okay, so the effective dimension that you are looking, critical dimension, is 3. Okay, which makes the random walk transient. Okay. Okay. So now what happens in a situations where this equality is a strict inequality. So the second theorem says that the following. So it has three parts. The first one says that if you are in dimension 1, 2, and 3, then for any gamma positive, the Lyapunov norms are strictly different. Okay. The second one is that for every dimension, okay, if gamma is large enough, then the strict inequality is still valid, under the additional assumption that the zeros of the omega do not percolate. Okay, so the probability that omega is equal to zero is less than the critical percolation constant in the dimensions. Okay, and the third one is that whenever you have an inequality of the Lyapunov norms, then you do not have any more central limit behavior. Okay, so in terms, instead you have a localization. So you can look at the you can look at the probability that when you hit the hyperplane, you land at point X, okay? And you can look at the maximum point where you can land on the hyperplane. Okay? Then if we were in a central limit theorem behavior, then this maximum will go to zero. So uniformly the density will decay. But on the other hand, if we take the Lin soup as L goes to infinity, this stays strictly positive. Okay. Okay. So just a couple of remarks. So these results are in analogy with what happens in the direct polymers. Okay. So the fact that you have you can backtrack. Okay. It doesn't change the big picture. Although it makes things technically much more difficult, it makes the picture valid, it keeps the picture valid. Okay. Okay. So I think I have how much? 10 minutes. Okay. So maybe. Okay. Maybe I'll try to give cases of further proofs. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, fluxes? Central limit theorem for sure, and we have the people who prove this. So you have also local limit theorem, I guess. I don't think you don't have local limit theorem, only central limit theorem.
You should feel the potential near the point X.
Okay. So. Okay, so you have a central limit theorem. Okay. Okay. So before giving you the sketch of the problem, I will give you the sketch of these two things. So I would like to note something. So here you see that. When gamma is small, okay, for dimension greater or equal to 4, you have equality of the Lyapunov norms and central limit theorem behavior. Okay. On the other hand, when gamma is large enough, even for dimension 4 and above, then you have inequality of the Lyapunov norms. Okay. So a natural question to ask is, first of all, so is there a critical value, okay, above which you have localization and below which you have delocalization. Okay? So okay. So for direct polymers this was established by Comets and Yoshida by use of the FKG inequality. Okay? But in this situation it's not so clear. So this argument will break down basically because you have the local time, so you can visit the same point many times. So it would be interesting, you know, I believe this picture should be valid, but it still needs to be proven. Okay. And then the second thing is that, which is also kind of an interesting problem in the direct polymers, is to be able to say something about the critical value, some kind of characterization. So how does it depend on the dimension, and so on and so on. Okay. And that will be also of the use, because the next step will be to extend the central limit theorem behavior to the whole sort of weak disorder regime. Okay. So far we know that there exists a gamma node depending on lambda, okay, for which you have central limit theorem behavior. Okay. But then you would like to be able to say that whenever you have equality of the Lyapunov norms, then you still have central limit theorem behavior. Okay? So this is something to be done. Okay, so some sketches on the proof. So let me just mention that I'm not going to talk about the first part of the theorem, because it's quite complicated. The only thing I'll mention is that it's based on the fractional moment estimates, which were initially developed in random pinning polymers by Derrida, Lacroix, Giacomini, and Toninelli, and then later on developed furthermore by Hubert Lacroix. Okay, but this is quite technical, and I'm not going to into this. Okay, so let me give you the heuristic about 2. Okay, so let's so we assume that gamma is very large. Okay, so let's assume that we are in the extreme case that gamma is equal to infinity, and that my omega can take only 2 values, okay, 0 and 1. So since the 0 do not percolate around, do not percolate when you start the random walk from the origin, there will be an island around the origin where the boundary is at value infinity. Okay. So if you want to go at a long distance in some direction, so you will have to cross this wall, and then there's no chance to do it. You will be killed. Okay. So on the other hand, if you are nil, then all the good islands that you have will come together, okay, to create a long corridor. Okay, so all these islands will move from the place where they are. They will come together to create a long corridor, which will allow you to go at the direction you want. Okay, basically this heuristic is Fubini, the fact that you can use Fubini and the independence. Okay. So basically that's the reason you have a difference of the Lyapunov norms for gamma large, for gamma infinity, and for gamma large you can make some approximation of this, and then you can make the argument work. Okay. Now let me discuss about the localization. So the sketch for the localization is as follows. First, we need I need to introduce some notation. So we have the B lambda L omega lambda gamma, okay, which is basically the partition function, okay, restricted on the set that the random walk stays in between the hyperplane H0 and HL. So instead of the random walk doing this, you just restrict that the random walk does not backtrack from this hyperplane. Okay. So basically, because this is something which is local, any asymptotics you have for this B quantity will be the same for the Z quantity. Okay, nothing will change. So the exponential decay of this will be the same as the exponential decay of the ZL. Okay. And the second thing I would like to introduce is a different measure, PL omega lambda gamma, which is basically is the original measure P hat condition that we stay in between the hyperplanes. Okay, so it's BL omega divided by BL. Okay. Okay. So. Now that I introduced this to notation, everything will be simple. Okay. So there is a. So let's look at the polymer of length capital N L. Okay, and then we will divide this length into strips of length little n. Okay. Now, let's look at the exponential asymptotics of P N L omega. Okay, divide by 1 over N L. So as n goes to infinity, this will converge to something. It's not exactly the Lyapunov norm that I have there, but just to reduce the confusion, let me just use the same symbol, okay? Okay. So this convergence will happen almost surely. As n goes to infinity. Okay. Now, we can do a telescoping of this, which was in the direct polymer case was done by Vicente Vargas. Okay. So we can write this as summation little n equals 1 to capital N of log of B little n L omega divided by B little n minus 1 L omega. Okay. Now we look at the numerator. So here, let's say, is level N L, and here is level N minus 1 L. So the numerator looks at the polymer starting from zero, hitting at some point the level N minus 1 L, and then continuing. Okay. So you can continue, you can have some interaction until it hits level N L. Okay. So we can lower bound the numerator by the paths that when they reach level N minus 1 L at point X, they do not backtrack. They just go straight ahead. Okay, so this will not happen. Just go straight ahead. Okay. So this will be so you sum up over all the points on the hyperplane N minus 1 L that you land. Then you have the polymer at length N minus 1 L landing at X. And then starting from X, you let it run for until it hits the hyperplane at level L. Okay. And of course we have this denominator. Now, if you look, what is this thing here? This is just this measure that I introduced. Okay. So this is so it'll be P tilde N minus 1 L omega at X, right? So this is the probability that the polymer, when it hits level N minus 1 L, it does so at the position X. Okay. And then here I will have the log and the summation. Okay. Now, the basic observation is that this quantity is something that depends on the disorder on the left of this hyperplane. Okay. On the other hand, this quantity is something that depends on the right of this hyperplane. Okay. Now, suppose that my localization statement was not valid. In other words, suppose that this probability did not develop atoms, but instead it was decaying as L goes to infinity kind of uniformly. Okay. So what we have here is basically an average of this quantity under some weights. Okay. So if these weights go uniform to zero, then one should be able to prove an ergodic type theorem telling you that when little n is large enough, this summation can be replaced by the expectation of this quantity. And of course, when you do the Cesaro averaging, then the whole 1 over n summation n equals 1 to capital N can be replaced by the average. Okay. So for capital N going to infinity, this quantity will approximate this one. Okay. Now, of course, when you have the expectation, you can use a translation invariant, so you don't need to shift. Okay. And then you let L go to infinity, and this converges to the annealed Lyapunov form. Okay. So this will give you, by the way, here is an inequality. Okay. So this will give you that the assumption that you do not have a localization will give you that the Quinn's Lyapunov norm is less or equal to the annealed, which is contrary to the assumption that we have strict inequality. Okay. Okay. So this essentially finishes the proof and also finishes my time. And thank you very much. Yes, I guess you can probably can do it. It's not something that I checked, but I guess you can have it in terms of Cesar. Mm-hmm.
Other questions?
This one here,
yeah.
This is a sub-exponential. So at an exponential scale, it disappears. So that was basically the hard work of Snitman's proof with these enlargements of obstacles, and which is basically the Quinn's case of the Donsker-Varadan looked at the annealed case of this. Something more quantitative. How does it depend on the dimension? How does it depend on the distribution? Yes. Mm-hmm. You can also give the definition that weak and strong disorder, whenever the Lyapunov norms are the same or when they're different. But still, it's not clear if you have a separation of the phases, right? It's in the direct polymers, that's the case. But here, the proof does not work. So. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so you have to be more careful with this because the quantities might not be defined. So you would need some careful assumptions, and if you put careful assumptions, probably that things are defined, probably at least the localization, I think, should be carried out. You see, in direct polymers, you can have omega big Gaussian, right, taking, but this is because you can only visit one point one time. Here you can keep coming back and then make things.
So, what are the fluctuations of the heating time of the
frequency? I don't know.
What are
the order of the heating time. Yes. It should be linear, I guess, but no, I don't know.
It should be linear.
Fluctuations, but the fluctuations on.
Thank you very much.